Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you on this very special day. And the specialness of this day is that it is day one, round one of the 123rd U.S. Open, taking place in a place it's never been before, and that's L.A. Country Club. So a lot of uniqueness is involved in this golf course that we're going to see when you watch TV. You'll hear about it. We've got our good friend Todd Lewis at the Golf Channel, who's going to be joining us here shortly. He'll also paint a picture of what this golf course is about and how unique it is. And some of the par threes, very, very unique when it comes to golf courses in general, certainly U.S. Opens. And, of course, also the LIV Tour merger connection with the PGA Tour and what that means. And, oh, by the way, the commissioner is out of commission, and there's a lot of question marks about what's going on with the health of Jay Monahan. So that's only a little tip of the iceberg of what we're going to talk about today. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How are you doing, Frank? Is that about it? There's nine more things we could talk about.
I just had a great, the PIF has said now that players will be compensated that were loyal to the PGA Tour in this new co.
I don't see how that works, but they
I don't either, it. But they said that it. Now too. So, you know, what a great time, and I just have to throw this in. What a wonderful time to be advertising on a golf talk show. What do you think?
What a wonderful time.
Hear us out there, folks. Yeah. Okay. Whoever's listening.
What a wonderful time. A wonderful time.
Yeah, we want Porsche as a sponsor. We'll do an in-kind deal with them, okay? So, yeah.
I don't want a Porsche.
I do.
Why don't you get a Harley? Frank, want to go back to the Harley?
We talked about that yesterday. Yeah. Not after no Treat Williams, God bless his soul.
No more Harleys.
A fellow that I knew. He was a great actor and a great person. He got killed on his motorcycle.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
71 years old, yeah.
So what do you know about L.A. Country Club? Anything at all? Have you ever been there?
I've been there. It is old Los Angeles. It is not Riviera.
It predates Hollywood,
per se,
right? It predates the movies. Well, it goes back before there were talkies. I mean, it goes back to like 1910.
Yeah.
So they're not infatuated with the movies and
not
Hollywood
at all.
Scene or any of that stuff. They're older than that, and they're kind of above that. Or at least some people would say that. And so there aren't a lot of celebrities and well-known people that are members at this club, where you would kind of normally think that was the case. Not so much, like Riviera might be or some other places.
Although it's right there off Wilshire Boulevard. I mean, it's just right there.
It's right in the heart. I mean, when you see it, when you watch, if you haven't seen any previews yet, you'll see skyline. I mean, you'll see all kinds of buildings and stuff over the trees. So they're right in the middle. They're not hidden by any means.
Yeah.
But they're behind the gates, if you will.
So ultra-conservative country club. Ultra-conservative. Yeah. I mean,
they don't even let you wear shorts.
Well, you know, I know. That's a rule.
Although
there.
The players are. I saw that during the practice.
Players were in the practice rounds, So I was like,
But the members can't. Yeah. So one of the kind – but I think if you do have – and you're going to host a major, U.S. Open – you go through certain protocol, right? And I'm sure part of this, 10 years ago, whenever they talked to the USGA about doing this, part of it was, okay, here's what we want to do. We want to do this to the course. We want to do something with the greens. You know, they always try to manipulate a little bit, USGA, the course, and they have to let you do that. And they might have also said, by the way, we've got to follow the PGA rules or the USGA rules, and that means shorts can be worn during practice rounds. So they probably go, okay.
You know. Just had a thought.
What was that?
You know, in boxing matches, the girl that walks around the ring holding up the round card shows round one, round two, round three. Paige Spiranak should be walking out on the first tee and holding up the card that shows who the players are.
Is that your thought?
That was my thought.
Yeah.
There would be heart attacks all through the membership of L.A. Country Club, I can assure you, for a lot of different reasons.
I don't think USGA's quite gone there. But
I don't think so.
It will be unique. The holes I was talking about, too, by the way, are the par threes. There's two of them that could be anywhere in the neighborhood of 280 yards length of a par three, and another one that could be in the neighborhood of 80 yards, depending on where they put the tee box.
80 yards with a six-foot landing area, basically.
So really kind of crazy the differences in some of these holes. I mean, even for pros, 280, I don't know that I've ever heard a 280-yard par three before.
Well, actually, it could play to 309.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
I mean, it's got to be all downhill and roll. Well, how could the members, even the very good members who want to play from the tips, how could you ever play that?
You wouldn't
and
play
expect
that.
A par or a birdie.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, you could have some of your long, Art Salinger might be able to play it.
But it's still blind luck,
Really?
Sure it
when
is.
You hit from
sure
that far, you're not trying to put it into the size of a green. When you're hitting a drive, you're trying to hit a fairway. You're not trying to hit it next to the pin. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting
to
see.
Now, an eight-lane highway like L.A., yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they're saying, by the way, and Todd will give us an update on this, Todd Lewis, that the fairways are fairly generous for this U.S. Open.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, they've narrowed them down and raised the rough, and the rough is still very penalizing and is really penalizing if you looked around the greens where they let just – I'm going to say weeds. I don't know what I should call them because they're all different sizes and shapes and lengths, but just grass growing up on the just off the fringe of the greens. If you miss a green, yeah. Rory McIlroy, like he's been doing the last few tournaments with his approach shots, it's buried around there. So yeah. There's going to be some challenges.
Yes, and the bunkers.
That's what they're known for.
The bunkering is back to the original design of making it very natural, if you will. There are no clean lines around the edges of those bunkers.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's not Augusta.
No.
There's nothing shaved here. I mean, as far as the shortness of the grasses and stuff like that. Now, they did say.
It's Gary McCord when you need him.
When you need him. They did say, I saw Justin Thomas say that the fairways, again, were a bit wider. And also, they have not had a lot of rain and they have not watered an awful lot. They're going to be runways.
Yeah.
Now, some people criticize that and say, okay, here's part of the problem with golf is, yeah, these guys are hitting 380 because they hit it 275 and it rolls out 100 yards. So that's part of what the players like, I guess. And then according to JT, what we're going to see at this U.S. Open. If you hit it right, it will roll out pretty good in the rolling hills of the.
Yeah, but if you hit it bad, it will roll out pretty badly.
Yeah,
it's going to get you in trouble.
That's kind of the part of the bringing back the ball distance, right? It's saying, hey, just make it tougher to hit a fairway, and you don't have to worry about the ball length.
Juan addressed that in his press conference yesterday. They talked about rolling back the ball.
Yeah.
They're a proponent of it. I'm not.
Dumb idea.
You know,
dumb idea. Yeah,
that's a dumb idea. Let's make the tennis ball heavier then.
It's a dumb business idea too. I mean, what golf ball manufacturer wants to do that for the eliteness of the pro tour? Because nobody else in the world is going to want to play.
Well, they can already
a shorter
do it.
Ball. You know,
they can do it in limited quantity. But then is the USGA going to pay for it?
Yeah.
They going to buy the balls, or are the PGA Tour going to buy the balls for the players? Yeah.
Whole nother. Because they've even said they've got to do more testing to decide how exactly they want the ball and what the length would be. Is the USGA paying for that testing? The PGA paying for that testing?
I guess they're going to play with featheries.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Heck.
Yeah. Did you see, I think the original, and I can't even remember his name, you might know, but the guy who won the first U.S. Open, and I think it's ironic that it's in the exact year, because we missed a couple of war years, right? But we're in the exact year of the year of, on the calendar, right? 23, and this is the 123rd. The 100th was in the year 2000. So it's kind of ironic. You can always remember which U.S. Open this is. Well, anyway, 123 years ago, the guy won the first one. You and I might have had a chance, Frank. I think there were only 12 guys that played in the first U.S. Open. His name's on the wall. It still counts. And I think he shot 91-88 in the two rounds that they played
to
win the U.S.
Open. That sounds like my game. There you go.
it's just like
my game.
Now, again, I went to the featheries, right? They're like, what were they playing? I mean, were their drives 190 yards or something? I don't know. But 91-88, I think, were the winning two-round score for that. So
1895 was the first U.S. Open held on Friday, October the 4th at Newport Golf Club in Newport, Rhode Island. Horace Rollins.
A Horace guy or something?
Horace Rollins. You know how much you won?
I know how much you won. $500,
$150.
$150. Probably a war bond or something,
That's a lot of money. Think about that. That's a lot of money back then.
You'd be happy this weekend if you won $150 from your buddies.
Hell yeah, I would. I've lost that the past few rounds.
That's what I'm saying.
Every round.
Yeah. $150. I wonder what that
translates. Not playing so good, and it's not my clubs. It's me.
10, 20 grand or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway. Talked to Todd yesterday. He's got a lot of info for us. A lot going on out there this way. I mean, there's so much to talk about.
You think?
Jeez. Yeah. And Bodenheimer, you know, he's part of the USGA. He's the chairman of competitions for the USGA. I was talking about, you know, the future of the USGA, where they're going to go, where they're going to play. What's the USGA going to do at Pinehurst? Maybe Todd can fill us in on some of that if we have enough time. I mean, there's so much to talk about. And Jay Monahan's situation is, you know, God bless him, and we hope he does well. But we still don't know what happened. Nobody knows.
Foggy.
It's real foggy.
I mean, they didn't even call it. It was a medical
situation.
Now, that's so, that's even vaguer than a medical procedure.
Yeah.
Right. Because exactly. Then you're kind of thinking, all right, something got removed or something. Oh, yeah. That can happen. But a situation is like, what does that mean? So, yeah, it's.
I don't know.
Maybe Todd will have some info. Well, let's take a break because Todd's probably waiting around, right? He's probably chomping at the bit to talk to us.
He's excited to get to talk to us from LA Country Club. Yeah, nothing else to do. You're right.
All right. Well, Golf Channel's very own Todd Lewis will join us when we come back. You're listening to Frank and I on Golf Talk America, and we will return right after this.
Forget lessons. Forget changing your swing. PXG Gen 5 golf clubs will unlock your potential and help you play your best golf ever in just one round. Built with PXG's most innovative materials and updated with new head shapes to suit every skill set, PXG Gen 5 clubs deliver cannon-like distance, laser-like accuracy, and angelic forgiveness. Order your Gen 5 clubs today at pxg.com or schedule a fitting at 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Do it today.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett joining you on this day. We come to you on Thursday as the first round of the 123rd U.S. Open is underway at L.A. Country Club. And the big guys, the big names, a lot of them are kind of clumped in together, are later in the afternoon as far as Central time goes, even on the Pacific Coast time. I guess that would be around noontime or a little bit afternoon that a lot of those guys will be playing. And let's bring him in, the guy who's going to be there covering it for Golf Channel as he does every big event and everything we're talking about. Todd Lewis is with us now from the streets of L.A., a new TV series. Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. How are you?
Hey, good, buddy. How's Los Angeles? What's the weather like today out there?
Well, we got a little cloud cover, not a lot of sun, which is great for scoring conditions. The LACC starting to I got here on Saturday, and Saturday and Sunday, the golf course was green and relatively receptive, and Monday as well. Tuesday, we started to see a little bit of a shift. It wasn't brown, but it's kind of pushing on to gold, and I think it's gonna be okay today and tomorrow because they got to get 156 players around the golf course to establish a cut. But once the weekend comes, I think you're going to see a change in color on that golf course, and it's going to be a lot harder. So heading into the weekend, I might see 6-7 under leading, and that might actually be the winning score come Sunday.
Hey, tell us, let's back up for just a moment. You got there Saturday, Todd. I saw that you played one of my favorite little spots out there. A little country club starts with an R, I believe. What was your score at Riviera? Will you divulge that?
I mean, do we need to? I mean, we're there for the experience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right. No one necessarily get into details, but it was okay. Cool. And you're talking about Riviera. I've been there dozens of times.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, it's great, and I've never had the opportunity to play. My schedule just has not allowed. And Jim Richardson, who's general manager, he's a former president of the PGA of America, offered me an opportunity to play, and I said, let me think about it. Yes, I'll come out.
No problem.
And had a great time. It's as spectacular as it looks. I bogeyed the 10th hole, that short little par 4, because I stupidly went for it.
Of course.
But it was cool. I'll tell you a fun story. We were walking, me and my producer, Andrew Bradley, and there was a guy who was a single in a cart, and he was kind of pushing us. We couldn't go anywhere. We had to force him in front of us. So finally, at just about the turn, they have a little snack shack at the 9th tee. And so we stopped, and we got a snack, and waved this guy through. He shows up, and he's got a Hawaiian shirt, and he's got a hoodie jacket. He's wearing black golf shoes and white socks and just, you know, like it's just
look like Tim.
Yeah, you're describing me.
And it was Happy Gilmore. It was Adam Sandler.
Oh my God.
So we let him through, and so we said hi to him, and he said hi, and I introduced myself. He said, "Who are you?" I don't blame him. He was super kind.
Yeah,
he was super kind.
You should have said, the next Happy Gilmore, I want to be in it. You know,
I don't have that mean spirit like you do, Frank. I'm like, I try to be nice.
So apparently there are no clothing rules and restrictions at Riviera like there are at L.A. Country Club.
Apparently not. A little more chill there at Riviera than at L.A. Country Club.
Quite a bit, I guess, yeah. I don't think Sandler gets on it. Tell us a little bit about the golf course. LA Country Club, Frank and I were talking before we brought you on about the uniqueness of it, not only hosting its first major and whatnot, but just the fact a lot of people don't get a chance to see LA Country Club very much. It is old school. They don't allow a lot of things like shorts and cell phone, different things that old school rules that they have there. But tell us a little bit about the course, because that's certainly, when it comes to U.S. Open, the golf course, the conditions and all that is almost as big a story as the players themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's cool because, you know, generally when we have these major championships, even though they're in, like U.S. Open last year, even though it's in technically kind of Boston area, it's really not Boston. It's in a suburb. But this golf course, LA Country Club, is right in the heart of the metro. And you're on the golf course, you look around, you see the hills of Southern California, you see the tall buildings that make up L.A. So that's cool. That's very cool. The golf course, I describe it as being elegant and rustic. It is, I think it's a gem. It's got some combinations of Donald Ross and just beautiful movement around the land. The bunkering is great, although some players are complaining because if you watch coverage, you'll see some high grass or fescue around the bunkers. They don't like that. Well, you know, just don't hit them there. But
just the play green, better.
The greens are fairly slopey. But it's a great golf course. I mean, it's really. I think it's going to be a great show. By the way, I don't know if your listeners know this, but at the 14th tee, there is a giant fence covered with hedges and lots of cameras, and you can hear these exotic birds and monkeys because on the other side of that fence is the Playboy Mansion.
Yes.
So it's just, and you can see Lionel Richie's got a massive house.
You hear a lot of sounds.
I knew that.
There's a lot of sounds coming from there. They're monkeys. Sure, they're monkeys.
Okay. Words in my mouth.
It's a family show.
I bet there's monkeys over there.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Hey, Todd, let me ask you this. What's the temperature like with the players, with the LIV players now that are playing again with the PGA Tour players? Everybody seems to be smiling and happy.
Yeah, I think, I don't see much animosity amongst the players. I think they all respect each other for sure. I mean, there may be one or two bits of friction between a few players, but overall, there's really not that much. I mean, they all generally live now. I mean, there are places that on the country that generally most of the big players live in. It's in West Palm, Jupiter area, South Florida, in Dallas, in Scottsdale, and in Las Vegas. But they see each other a lot when they're practicing and getting ready, especially down in South Florida, Jupiter. I don't really see that much tension amongst the players. I think there is tension between the players and the managers of these leagues. There's no doubt about it, because there's still so much uncertainty, especially on the PGA Tour side, but I don't see it amongst players.
We're talking with Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel. He is in Los Angeles getting ready for the U.S. Open at LA Country Club. What's the latest on the commissioner? Jay Monahan, suddenly through all of the turmoil of what happened last week and the announcements and the feedback from players kind of on both sides, the PGA and LIV Tour and whatnot, suddenly he has a health issue and things going on with that, and not much more that we're hearing than that he has some health situations happening. Do we know any more, Todd, than that?
No, not really any specifics. I do, from what I understand, it is a health issue. There's no trying to, you know, put smoke in everyone's eyes here that it's, you know, it is something that is serious and should be taken serious. And we wish Jay the best. Look, he has had a very challenging tenure as commissioner. Not only the competitive battle with LIV Golf, but, you know, he, like all of us, we went through COVID. That was very challenging as well. You know, and it's been hard on him. And absolutely. I mean, you can say what you want about doing the right thing and doing where he is from a business perspective. You know, regardless, you know, he's a good man and he was trying to do the right thing. And, you know, I do feel for him. And I do feel that he's gone through, just an incredibly stressful situation and will continue to. So I wish him the best for sure.
We all do. We all absolutely do. And you're right. I don't know how any human being could stand up under the pressures that Jay has been under since he took over at the helm of the PGA Tour, with everything that's happened, from even the government looking into it, and just, I mean, it's, wow.
Yeah, if, you know? There was potential potential, from what I understand, of the PGA Tour being consumed and collapsing.
Yes.
Yeah, not immediately, but that, you know, if you looked at this from a business model and the current model they had, and Jay mentioned it, you know, they're spending $150 million out of the reserves to supplement tours, title sponsors for designated events, and $20 million purses and legal fees. I mean, that's just not sustainable. And so, you know, it was an interesting point. We had a conversation about this prior to going on the air. And Brandon Champley made a great point. He said, unfortunately, Jay had a choice. He could continue to fight live, but again, given the circumstances that I just mentioned, he could have been the guy at the helm that could have seen the PGA Tour collapse, or he could be a hypocrite, which he admits he is, and try to save the tour and save golf. And he'd rather be a hypocrite. Yeah. And I find that to be brave, to be honest with you.
I agree. One of the things I did hear, I don't know how true it is, but from a financial standpoint, given there were lawsuits pending and monetary payouts would have occurred, the pension plan of the PGA Tour as a 501c6 was in jeopardy. They could have gone after that money. So if that's the case, he protected players previous to all of this and players in the future. I totally protected them.
I don't know the particulars of that. I will say I do believe in his heart of hearts, Jay was fighting for the players. Jay was fighting for the players and the membership and the legacy of the PGA Tour. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, like anything going through life, you know, you can always play Monday morning quarterback, should have done this, should have done that. But he was really, really, from an emotional perspective, trying to protect the tour and the players. And I completely respect him for that.
Yeah. So certainly you can see how evil social media can be at this point. And some of the things it's that just shouldn't be happening. And we're behind you, Commissioner. Get better, you know.
That's where cowards take citizenship, on Twitter.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
Do we know, Todd, too, one last thing on Jay Monahan, his health? They're saying, you know, there's a couple of guys that are taking over. He's taking a leave of absence. Do we have an idea of a time frame here? Is this a temporary couple week, a week? Is it a few months, or do we know?
Don't know. It's very open-ended right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be as long as that, though. Okay. All right.
All right. Let's move to the players themselves and some of the favorites. You know, you and I both listen, all of us listen to a lot of other shows that are, you know, like on SiriusXM, whatever. Max Homa's name keeps coming up. California guy, won in California, loves the place. What's your gut feel on Max Homa this week?
Yeah, good player. I think, you know, he was really, really playing well at the beginning of the year. I think a little bit of a valley right now, but obviously he's a world-class player and he can pick it up and he feels comfortable. And when he was in college, as you may have pointed out, he shot 61 there at LA Country Club at a college event while at Cal. But obviously it's a different golf course this week than previous. I think just my observations, I think iron play is going to be a big thing here this week, a huge important part of your game. As a matter of fact, my friend Paige McKenzie, she crunches the numbers. She does some wagering segments for us here and there. And she said, generally, the guys who win U.S. Open are top 10 in greens and regulation, or top 10 in strokes gained approach. So, you know, you got to look at good iron players. And John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler, those two.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're going to be in the mix. Scottie's got a putt quite a bit better. I mean, it's amazing to me that he was number one in strokes gained tee to green at the Memorial by a mile. I think he just about broke the record and was dead last for those who made the cut on the weekend in putting in strokes gained. So, you know, if he can putt 50% better than he putted in Ohio, then he's going to win this.
Okay, Tim.
We're also looking at
Tim, I just wanted to jump in. I know you're going to ask this, so I'll do it. Brooks Koepka is, from what I've heard, about everybody's favorite to win this thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he is, you know, I think right now, and he is definitely not to this level, and I'm not comparing him to this great player, Tiger Woods, I'm talking about. I think at major championships now, when he shows up on a leaderboard, there's a bit of intimidation. There's a bit of like, there's a bit like, oh no. I mean, not like, again, not like Tiger used to do it, but at major championships, they're like, okay, here comes Koepka. Oh no. That kind of thing. But he just, he's got a, it's interesting to him. I actually talked to him yesterday, and I've known Brooks. Here's a little story you may not know. I was in Turkey working the Turkish Airlines Open when he was a member of the European Tour. And I was there when he won his first event. It just by chance, I was covering that tournament as his first European Tour win. And here's an American playing on the European Tour, and the Europeans and all those that play on that tour are very proud of that tour. And they, when he won, we flew Turkish Airlines from Turkey to Dubai for the next event. And I was on that flight. And the joy that all those other European players had for Brooks Koepka, because all the players were on that flight, it was a charter, for him to win as an American was over the moon. There was a 35,000 feet in the air party for Brooks Koepka. I mean, they were all, so I'm saying that to indicate, he's a very lovable, likable, engaging guy, but there he creates a bit of this Wyatt Earp gunslinger caricature of himself at major championships.
A bit.
And he and he's like, I'm the baddest dude on the grass. And he convinces himself of that, and that confidence obviously works. I mean, but there is a sweetness about Brooks, and then there's the competitive side about Brooks.
I think the players that you spoke of on that flight, and all of the players today, or not all, a lot of the players today, Brooks Koepka came up the hard way in this game. Worked his tail off. He did not come into AJGA and all that. He worked his fanny off, and the lesser tours, or I shouldn't say lesser, that's the wrong comment, I apologize, and other tours around the world to gain his access to the PGA Tour. So he's done his work.
And Todd, here's another thing too. I think, and I said this before on the show, when it comes to Koepka, when he's healthy, right, when we know he's gone through his rough time in the last few years and a lot of doubts in his mind, but when he's healthy and going back to his past and his baseball and people saying Florida State and maybe could have gone pro, and he's a very, very good athlete and has a different, in my mind, a different mindset than the guys who've always been golfers, which is 90% of the rest of the guys there who are golfers first and foremost. Brooks was really baseball in a different mind, which is a whole, any of us have been around baseball players, you know their egos and their confidence and everything else. I think when Brooks gets amongst these guys, whoever it might be, whether it's Rory or Spieth or Scheffler, I think, and he may never admit this, but it's just my theory, that he thinks of himself as a better, more dominant athlete than these guys, much like a baseball player sits there and says, all right, stares down a pitcher, you throw it as hard as you want, I'm going to swing. I think he takes it as a personal one-on-one, that he's not intimidated by any of those guys out there. As you said, some guys could certainly be intimidated by him. I think his baseball playing background gives him a bit of an edge psychologically that he goes after. We saw it at the PGA Championship. He doesn't back down. He falters a little bit, and he turns right back and gets a birdie on the next hole. I think the baseball part of Brooks Koepka is what he just said this last couple of days. He thinks he could get to double digits in majors.
Yeah, I mean, he's halfway there. I that's a great analogy, and I totally see that. I think also if you combine that with what we were just talking about, that he went through the Challenge Tour, the European Tour, and then to the PGA Tour, and he went it the hard way. He wasn't given anything, and that is a chip on his shoulder, too, because there are a lot of guys that go straight basically from college to the tour, and they didn't have to suck it up and fight it through the minor leagues, kind of as he did. So he earned everything. It wasn't given.
All right, Todd, anybody else while we have you still on the
DJ.
Streets of,
what does DJ look like?
Melrose Place. Yeah, who else you got in mind? Who else you thinking about?
It's so hard. I am so bad at this. Let me just tell you how bad
really?
I am. We have
keep the money in your pocket.
It's amazing. I am so bad at this. I'm in a pool of like 300 other guys around the world, actually, where I just try to pick this out. I feel like I've got an advantage. I'm out here on tour. Man, I'm like in 200th place. I am like so bad. It's so amazing. I jinx the guy.
Who
I pick, and then they miss the cut, and then the next week they win. So I'm always a week behind. I think, like I said, I think Iron Play is going to be huge this week. And just, I mean, we hear this all the time, patient. There are holes out there where a par or a bogey, no problem. Take it. You take your medicine. Just don't try not to make the big number. And when you have those limited moments to attack.
What is
those people?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You just have to have that patient toughness, because we've talked about it all the time, Frank. I walk up and down the range at tour events, and every one of those players in the field hit it in the middle of the club. If they don't have belief and strength mentally and patience, that's what separates the good player from the great player.
What's the chatter about this little short? Well, both two of them, the short par three and the long par three. What's the chatter? Because the short par three, 80 yards, but my understanding is you've got about a 6-foot area to hit, and that's about it.
Well, it's a cool green. It's the coolest hole on the golf course to me. You're talking about the 15th hole.
Yeah, 15th.
It can play about roughly 100 yards, depending on where they move the tee in the hole location. And it just so happened last night about 6:30 to 7 o'clock, USGA rules officials were on that green with putters trying to figure out for the hole location. That's the cool hole. The way that hole looks, it's like the letter P, except the hole is built in on the P. And there's a back fat part of the green, but there's a very skinny front part of the green, and there's going to be a hole location there. And you miss it. I mean, it's going to be very challenging, but it's a cool hole. It's a really cool hole. My favorite hole. And then there's a hole that's going to be playing 300 yards. So it's a par three. But it is downhill. It's not as severe as you think. And you'll see some guys hit some irons off of that. A grand might be a driving iron or something, but you mostly hybrids, maybe 5 or 7 would.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I can't say we're looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be a great start to it. And we hope a dramatic finish, maybe like the Canadian Open, something like that would be unbelievable.
What a finish.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And Frank, let's not forget where we can watch this. This would be on Peacock, USA, NBC, all Comcast-owned companies. I have Comcast stock. I'd like to retire it someday, so everybody watch.
I got a notice today that my bill was passed. No, I'm kidding. It's on Peacock in my house right now. Any parting thoughts? I know you got to go, and I know Tim's got to go too, but any parting thoughts about this U.S. Open?
You know, it's been – I will say this. I mean, the last week and a half has been it's been an earthquake in our sport. Everything that's been going on, it's obviously affected Jake Monahan as well. I really would like to see a great, pure competition here, and let us live in that and celebrate the best players of the world playing one of the best championships on one of the coolest golf courses in the United States. So that's what I hope everybody can take away from this. And Monday, they're like, wow, did you see the U.S. Open last night? So I think that's what I'm looking forward to.
We just need our good friend Mark Zucchino to make a call like he did last week on that 70-foot eagle that sank.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard it or not, but he was hoarse for 2 days.
I heard it, and I saw him a couple of days ago, too, because I was worried he's going to be in the hospital, getting some kind of stent putting in his body after having a heart attack, but it sounded like he's okay.
He went nuts.
He did a great job.
Todd, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, and have a wonderful U.S. Open week out there in lovely L.A.
Guys, thank you very much. I'm heading to the course now. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Todd. We appreciate it. Take care.
You got it, guys.
Take care, buddy. See ya.
Yeah.
Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel. And, I got a feeling, Frank, back to Monahan. I think when you're just making a joke, or he was making a joke about a
heart attack.
And about Zucchino, jokingly. No joke when it comes to Monahan.
No.
I kind of have a feeling it might have been a stress test or something he took, right? And a doctor might have found something. Might have said, you know what, maybe we need to put a stint in. Now, I have no idea. I mean, I'm just talking out of my head here.
Well, there's a lot of speculation right now.
Yeah. But
everywhere.
But I'm thinking maybe something like that, because he seemed to be in good health, right, during the announcements and everything. But that can happen. I've had friends, I'm sure you have too, that are walking around one day, and the next day they're having 3 stints put in, right?
A good golf buddy of mine, fireman, worked out constantly. Super. I mean, the guy looked like an Adonis when he came out of the dang shower in the locker room. I mean, worked out all the time. Bam, he went down. He almost died.
Because you don't know. that Monahan would have a stress test. I mean, I certainly could imagine his doctors might, you want to come in. I mean, you've been under a lot for the last, certainly goes before the announcement, but for the last few months.
Yeah, boy, the guys
maybe
been
come
under
in
hell.
And check something out, and maybe they found, yeah, so yeah. Maybe it's something like that, and hopefully found it early enough, right, which is what we all hope. And
yeah, absolutely.
Recover from it.
He's so a family man, he's got a great family, and you know.
Something else, so.
We might disagree with certain things people do, but we certainly don't. Hate
nobody
people, you know. That's what social media does.
We didn't ask
about
Todd, but I'm curious too. Just in our final thoughts here about the crowds. You know, there are people are talking about how, and we said even that this is a golf course that's very much surrounded by the city of L.A. It wasn't when it was built 100 years ago or more, but now it's there. Right?
They built a bridge across Wilshire Boulevard.
They
built a bridge across Wilshire Boulevard.
A temporary bridge for pedestrians.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because parking was a real problem. People are saying, well, if you're going to get 50,000 people at an event on one day that's not meant to have that, where are they going to go? I mean, it's not like, you can really park in L.A. very well any day, much less 50,000 of you trying to get somewhere. So that could be an interesting part of it, too. But, you know, if you want to go bad enough, I guess you'll figure out a way to get there.
It's going to be a great tournament. I'm looking forward to it. That golf course is, he's right, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I wish I had
Peacock.
I wish I was on the 14th green tee box. I mean, never mind.
Really? Never mind?
Okay. Never mind. Don't go there.
Recommend. No. Yeah, for the monkey sounds? I got you, Frank. Frank could be the one caught
exactly.
By security being taken out with his handcuffs because he was climbing the fence at 14. I was just trying to see the monkeys.
I love animals. Yeah. I love all creatures.
I was just looking for the monkey. I heard something. I thought he was screaming for help. Yeah. Sir, you're going to come with us.
If my wife listens to this show, because I'm in trouble, I'll never get to go to L.A. Country Club now.
No.
Oh, heck no, man. Never. Anyway, so you're getting out of here.
Excited.
You're going.
I'm excited. Yep.
And
I got to rock and roll. So, but good. I'm looking forward to it. It is on USA, I believe. I saw that too. So it starts on USA for a lot of the country at Central Time, noon. It's on USA.
Well, you can stream it. You can stream it. Yeah.
They have their own channel.
USGA.com or something like that.
Yeah. USGA.com or something. Just like you do the Masters.
Excuse me.
So you probably stream in certain groups that'll be. But I know like Spieth and Scheffler and Rory and Kepka, they all go off, again, Central Time wise, but they all go off middle of the afternoon from 2:30, 3:30, 3:45 kind of. So they got a little bit of time still from when we're doing the show now before some of those guys go off. And it will be curious. I mean, again, the U.S. Open is notorious for never getting to double digits under par. Still very rare that you can do that. So it'll be interesting to see what first round kind of scores. If somebody can early on get to 2, 3, 4 under, I don't know if they can. USGA won't want them to. By the way, I was checking this out, final thought, checking out just different U.S. Opens, and it brought me back on Google or whatever I was looking at, and it showed some video. Remember Phil? That was the U.S. Open when Phil was at Shinnecock, when Shinnecock got crazy fast through their greens. They basically lost their greens.
Yes.
And Phil saw a putt that was about to go off the green into the fairway.
And just hit it again.
And ran down and got it before it stopped rolling. That was classic. I'd forgotten about that for a while. That was a U.S. Open.
Yeah, there was a big –
he did that.
He made a lot of people upset at the USGA over that one.
The announcers were going nuts. And you know what? And he gave – looked at the interview too. He gave a – maybe people didn't buy it, but a logical – answer, which is, that's a two-stroke penalty. Okay, fine. So I'll take my two strokes from that point, because that ball was going off the green and down because everything was so hard and dry. Yeah. He said, so I was going to have to chip back on, try to get it close enough, putting it. And so he said, I thought about doing that before.
That was smart.
That I get two strokes. It might take me 3 or 4 if I let the ball finish going where it's going to go. Now, I don't know if he thought about that in the moment. He said he did. And it looked very amateurish. I get it. People are not happy with that look of a guy chasing after his ball and getting to it and hitting it back.
Actually, if he thought about it, was pretty smart.
Know, but that's what he taught. Afterwards, he talked to Curtis Strange, actually. And he said, Curtis, I've thought about doing that before because I know the rule. It's a two-stroke penalty. And at that point, if you notice, when I got to it, I kind of tapped it back to get it close that I could kind of tap it in. I thought two strokes was better than where it was going to end up because it was headed, he said, for 30 yards down the fairway.
Headed downtown.
Anyway, interesting.
Yeah, downtown. So
we'll see how this course is set up. What I was thinking about is, you know, when we're talking about how many under somebody might get in the first round, USG does everything they can to try to say, okay, 1 or 2 under is a great score. Even par is a great score. I know you don't normally think that on the PGA Tour, but It is for this Open, so we'll see how they set up the LA Country Club.
Yep, it's going to be fun. Anyway. It's going to be fun to watch. Okay. I'm going to get right in front of the TV when we finish the show.
Hey, be sure to check out Invited. Frank and I are both members at Invited Clubs. There are clubs all over the country in whatever state you might be in. Just go to invited.com, and you'll find one near you, and you can join. You can actually kick the tires and check it out for a little bit before you join. And when you are a member at one, you get privileges all over the country. It's a great, great experience. The nicest people in the world at Invited. Thank you to Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel for joining us. Be sure to check him out and check out everything at Comcast so that he gets his stock prices going up and it helps Todd Lewis's family in his retirement plan. And Frank, probably, apparently, too.
Better hurry.
For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for joining us. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.